Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from what for most of us is one of the most beloved Christmas narratives in the Bible. You will find it in the second chapter of Luke's Gospel. We'll read together verses 8 through 14. And then I want us to hold on to a few verses, especially one particular verse from the writings of the Apostle Paul from the book 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 16 through 18, and verse 16 we especially want to hold on to this Lord's Day, Sunday morning. If you have your Bible and would like to follow along, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and following. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. They were afraid. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, bands of cloth, and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And then these words from the Apostle Paul, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 17. Short verses, important meanings. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this really is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. May God add his blessing upon the reading of his word about joy. Dr. Dan Yeary is the pastor of the North Phoenix Baptist Church, very large Baptist church in Phoenix, Arizona. Dan Yeary is one of my Metro minister friends. He is one of about 30 ministers in a support group of which I am privileged to be a member. As some of you know, we get together once a year for about 3 days and we pastor each other. Over the years, and I've known Dan about 18 years, he's told a story a couple of times, something that actually happened to him earlier in one of his pastorates. Dr. Yeary, who is one of the most gentle, caring pastors that I know, was at his office one day and received a call that a middle-aged businessman, very prominent in the community, very prominent church member, had died suddenly of a heart attack. So Dan made his way to the home of the deceased. He was greeted there by this new widow, and she said, "Brother Dan, could you please come in so we could talk?" And he did. He had prayer with her, extended sympathy to her, consoled her, and said, "Mary, is there anything that we can do for you as a church?" And she said, "I just want to be for sure that Bruce's funeral is at the church. He loved the church. I wanted the choir to sing. I want there to be wonderful hymns. Dan, I want you to preach." And Dan said, "I'll be glad to do all that. We'll make the arrangements. Anything else, Mary?" And she said, "Yes, I just want George, our minister of music, to sing Bruce's favorite song." He said, "That's no problem. What is it?" "Jingle Bells," she said. Dan was taken aback just a little bit, but didn't let that show, and said, "Jingle Bells, are you sure?" "Oh, yes, Jingle Bells, Brother Dan. That was his favorite song, and we must sing that at his funeral." He said, "I need to get back to the office and talk to George, our minister of music, and he will be meeting with you a little bit later on to finalize the arrangements." Dan got back and talked to George, the minister of music, and said, "George, I don't know if you've heard the news that Bruce died, and that's been a tragedy in our community, and could you go out and meet with Mary and plan the service?" And he said, "No problem." And so he was going out of Dan's office, and Dan said, "One thing, George, they just want to be for sure that you would sing Bruce's favorite song." He said, "That's no problem." And Dan said, "Well, it's Jingle Bells." He said, "What?" He said, "It's Jingle Bells." He said, "I'll take care of this. Don't worry. I'll go out and talk to Mary." True story. Promise. You can't make this stuff up. George went out and had a discussion with Mary. They planned this service, going to be very formal, going to sing wonderful hymns like Amazing Grace, How Great Thou Art, scripture reading. Family members were going to participate. Brother Dan was going to preach, and she said, just one thing, be sure, George, be sure that you sing his favorite song. Well, what is that? It's Jingle Bells. Mary, are you, it is Jingle Bells, and that's what I want. He said, okay, and he went back to church. The time came for Bruce's funeral. The place was packed. He had been a prominent businessman and church member, and it proceeded in a very formal way. How great thou art, Amazing Grace. The family got up. They made comments. They loved this person. Everybody loved them. The scriptures all led up to that. And right before Dan Yeary got up to preach the sermon, George, the minister of music, Seth, aren't you glad you weren't in this church? George, the minister of music, got up, and he started to sing. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. There was a holy hush that went throughout that congregation. But George continued. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is. George was not having fun at this particular time. But he wanted to hold true to the wishes of the family, and he kept singing. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. By now, there were some angry stares that were being thrown at both Dan Yeary and George's way. But again, you want to comply with the wishes of the family. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open. So he was just thankful to God that he somehow finished that song, and he sat down. Dan Yeary got up and preached the funeral message. Nobody remembered what Dan said that day. And after it was over, Dan and George, as we often do at funeral services, they led the casket out down the aisle toward the hearse. And just as Dan was going down, the widow caught him by the sleeve and she said, oh, Brother Dan, I didn't mean jingle bells. It was when they hear those golden bells. To this day, whenever anyone even mentions jingle bells, all the people in that church remember the day that jingle bells was sung at a funeral. I want you to hold on to that true story for just a moment today, because believe it or not, it might help us just a bit in emphasizing the theme of the morning, the theme of joy. Do you have joy in your heart this morning? The choir has sung about it. The children have told us about it in song. We've had all of these wonderful carols, these joy carols. Do you have joy in your heart today? During the time of the first Christmas, the very first angelic announcement to some unsuspecting shepherds went as follows. Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. It was the announcement of joy that inaugurated that very first Christmas. When we come into the sanctuary at Christmas time, even as we have today, we notice our Advent wreath, and the second candle in that Advent wreath is the candle of joy. Our Roman Catholic friends, when they light the joy candle, the pink candle, call it Gaudete Sunday. It means joy. It is from the Latin rejoice. It's an imperative. It's a command. It's not an option for us. We're to be joyful people. And then we sing all of these wonderful, wonderful hymns. So let's stop for just a moment and get you to use your background and see if you can help me out just a bit. You don't have to answer these out loud, but let's play a little game for just a moment or two. And how many Christmas carols can you name that have the word joy or rejoicing either in the first line or in the title? It will amaze you how much this permeates our celebration of Christmas. There's Joy to the World, which we have sung. Then there's Good Christian Friends Rejoice. It used to be Good Christian Men Rejoice, but that's been made politically correct. How about God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen? They haven't changed that one yet. But, oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy? Tidings of comfort and joy? There are some Advent hymns. The chorus of O Come, Emmanuel goes, Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. There's a line in Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, which says, Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy, joy of every longing heart. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, joyful, all ye nations rise. How many can you name? O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. That wonderful echo song, how great our joy, 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 joy. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. As with gladness men of old did the guiding star behold, as with joy they held its light, leading onward, beaming bright. Joy permeates the celebration of the Advent season. Not only in the angelic announcement, not only in the lighting of the joy candle and the Advent wreath, but also in many of the hymns and carols that we sing, we are reminded time and time again that as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we are to be people of joy. It's not an option. It's in the imperative. We are to be joyous people. How joyous are you folks this morning? How much joy is in your life today? For just a few moments today, as we think about joy, not just at Christmas time, but I think joy, which is to characterize our lives all the time, I want us to hold on to that little verse that the Apostle Paul penned over there in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16, 17, and 18, but especially the 16th verse. Rejoice always. Then he goes on to say, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. How in the world do we do that? First of all, if we are to live out that command of rejoice always, not only during the Christmas season, but for all seasons, not only at Christmas time, but all the times as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, how do we do that? We have to make a distinction between joy and happiness. See that little phrase there that Paul uses, rejoice always? It's pretty easy to learn. Anybody out there know John 11:35? Y'all go to Bible drill, vacation Bible school. John 11:35 is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. We love that verse because when we had to learn all these Bible verses, everybody knew John 11:35, Jesus wept. We could always say that one. But did you know that outside of Jesus wept, which is pretty easy to remember, the second shortest verse in all of Holy Scripture? 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Easy to remember. Hard to put in practice. Because truth be told, we don't always feel joyful, do we? It's pretty easy to be people of joy when things work out in life as we anticipate and plan. When our children make good decisions. When they end up pretty well in life. When things at work, at school, at play, down at Rupp Arena, unless you were a North Carolina fan, go as you anticipate and plan. It's pretty easy to be joyful, is it not? But what about those occasions when our children make bad decisions and our spouse makes a bad decision and we make a bad decision? What about those times when the kids get sick and our aging parents get sick and we get sick? What about those times when we don't get the raise and the economy is down and the job is lost and times are tight? What about those occasions when there is hospitalization and surgery and the diagnosis of terminal illness and divorce and the breakup of relationships and a funeral and a death? Paul, are you sure you got that thing right over there in 1 Thessalonians 5:16? Rejoice always. Oh, I got it right, Paul said. I got it right because you who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ need to learn to make a distinction between joy and happiness. You see, happiness, you can almost hear it, comes from the same root of the word happening. Happiness depends upon circumstances. If I get a raise, I'll be happy. Children act well, I'll be happy. Things go right, I'll be happy. But we can't always be happy in life, truth be told, because happiness depends upon circumstances, and circumstances really do change, don't they? But joy, Paul says, oh, that's different. Whereas happiness is a feeling that we can have when things are right, joy is a choice. It's an attitude that we can adopt even when things are wrong. See the difference? So whether you come to God's house today and life for you has been good, bad, or somewhere in between, whether you are on cloud nine or you're at the bottom of some pit, though you may not be happy right now, you can still exude joy because joy is a choice. Did you know that joy is a fruit of the Spirit? It's a primary characteristic of all Christians. Check it out in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Joy is number two. We're supposed to be people of joy. That doesn't mean we're always happy. Do you think Paul was always happy? Gosh, no. A guy was shipwrecked, beaten, pelted with rocks, left for dead. He didn't always experience happiness, but he could always choose joy. Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any people on the face of this earth who ought to be joyful people, it ought to be us. It ought to be us. The Christmas message was good news, not of discouragement and despair. It was good news of great joy. We've got a Savior. If you know Him, He's forgiven you of your sins. You've got the gift of eternal life. You've got the promise of heaven. Lord's sakes, if anybody on the face of the earth ought to be joyful, it should be us. Billy Sunday, ex-Major League Baseball player who became an evangelist, was kind of noted for his sayings. And one time he said something like this: if there is not joy in your religion, there's a leak in your Christianity someplace. Is there any joy in your religion this morning? Anybody whose faith is leaking just a little bit? Does it need to be bolstered up, reinforced, plugged up with a little bit of Christmas joy? 10 Hansel, in a book written long, long ago with the wonderful title, You Gotta Keep Dancing, Even in the Midst of Life's Difficulties, You Can Choose Joy, said this. Listen to Hansel. We can know a joy that transcends circumstances and is of a substance and faith that is beyond situations. If we are to have this kind of joy in our lives, we must first discover what it looks like. It is not a feeling. It is a choice. It is not based upon circumstance. It is based upon attitude. It is free, but it is not cheap. It is the byproduct of a growing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is available to us when we make ourselves available to Him. It is something that we can receive by invitation and by choice. Do you choose joy this morning? Is there joy in your life, in your heart today? One of those hymns that we mentioned is the hymn that we are to come joyfully, triumphantly. Not always easy to do. Sometimes we'll come, and even when we try to be faithful, to come all ye faithful, it's not always easy, and we'll find ourselves coming not joyfully, but we're coming sad, discouraged, bitter, angry, perplexed, frazzled, hurried. But as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can choose to come joyfully. And that's a choice I hope we'll make. Well, what's the source of this joy? How are we going to embrace that and exude that, not only during this Christmas season, but throughout all the seasons of our lives? The answer kind of lies in a chorus that we learned as kids growing up in church. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins He'll wash away. Your night He'll turn to day. Your life He'll make it over anew. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Do you have joy this morning? Have you made life's most important decision? Have you at some point in your earthly pilgrimage asked Jesus to come into your heart? Can you really celebrate Christmas? Can you rejoice always? I want to talk to our older children and our teenagers for just a moment. And I want you parents and grandparents and all you people out there who are interested about young people to listen in. But guys and gals, this is for you. Some of you have already made the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. Some of you have already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Still got a lot of growing to do as a Christian. Still got to learn a whole lot about what it means to follow Jesus. But you have already made life's most important decision. Good for you. Some of you, more than just a few of you, older children and teenagers, and some even on up into adulthood, have never made life's most important decision. You really can't celebrate Christmas until you give your heart to the one that Christmas is all about. I don't know of a better time than Christmas time for you to think about receiving the best gift ever given. It's the gift of the Savior. It's the gift of eternal life. It's the gift that God gives to you. Guys and gals, I wish I could make this decision for you. If I could, I would accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior for everybody within sound of my voice. But guess what? I can't do that. And your parents can't do that. And Jason Matlack and Carrie Beth or none of our ministers, nobody else can do that. We can tell you about the gift. We can encourage you to make the gift. But you've got to accept the gift. Now, why is it so important that as a church we tell our older children and our youth about the Jesus gift? Let me tell you why. Because research after research and study after study tells us this, that if you have not accepted Jesus Christ by the time that you graduate from high school, statistically speaking, you probably won't ever make that decision. 90% of the Christians in the United States of America today made their decision for Christ at age 21 or under. 85% of the Christians in America today made their decision for Jesus between the ages of 4, which is a little early, to 14. 85%. For people in the United States today, older children through early youth, ages 9 through 13, this is all children in the United States, there's a 32% probability that you will become a Christian. For those ages 14 through 18, it drops to 4%. 18 and above goes up to 6%. Do you see why it's so critical? It is crucial. It is imperative that we have excellent children's ministries and youth ministries and adult ministries that support young people in the church. Now, I'm not saying if you're beyond 21 and don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior that you can't receive Him as Savior. You can, and people do, and they are some of the best Christians sometimes ever. But there's this wonderful window of opportunity. And if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, you got to let Jesus come into your heart. Margaret was a very hurried, frazzled mother who wanted to be the best type of mom possible. It was the busy Christmas season, and she was out doing all kinds of things, family things, church family, school activities. It turned out that her 8-year-old son, Billy, was going to try out, audition for the Christmas pageant at church. Margaret knew that her budding star would be named to have the part of Joseph. Just knew that was going to happen. People were clamoring in the church to see Billy shine. Auditions came back. He didn't make Joseph. But he was selected to be a wise man. So undeterred, Margaret decided that he was going to be the best-looking wise man that Bethlehem or anybody else in the world had ever seen. And she spared no expense. You wouldn't believe this wise man outfit, man. He was decked out. And it even included the most natural-looking fake fur beard that you've ever seen. I mean, he was a wise man. So the time of the Christmas pageant came, and it was incredible. Every child did their part so well. And the singing of all these wonderful Christmas songs about the birth of the Savior, they knew them and they sang them, and it was such a wonderful experience. After the Christmas pageant, the minister of music said, "If you all don't mind, I would like for you to consider donating your costumes to a Christmas costume wardrobe that we're going to start having so that we can have these on hand for future pageants." Everybody said, "That's a great idea. Let's do that." And Margaret said, "Billy, would you like to give away your wise men out?" "Sure," he said. And so she said, "Well, hurry up. We got other things we got to do. Let's run by the church and get it done." And so Billy turned in his wise man's outfit except for the beard. "Billy, you need to leave the beard." Billy wouldn't. "Billy, you need to leave the beard. Mom, you don't understand." I said, "Mom, you know all those wonderful songs that the kids were singing during Christmas? I didn't learn one of those. And with that beard on, I could just kind of mouth the words, and nobody ever knew." And then Margaret said it finally hit her. What had happened not just to Billy, but to her and so many other people. She was going through the motions of Christmas, and she didn't really know the song. Older children, teenagers, young or not so young adults, I don't want you to just go through the motions of Christmas. I don't want you just to pretend to have joy. I want you to experience the gift of the Savior. Only then can you have peace. Only then can you have real life. Only then can you really have joy. Who knows? One day, you might even request that Jingle Bells be sung at your funeral. Let's pray. May we not get so wrapped up in all the activities of the season, though many are so good, God, that we forget the focus of the celebration. The gift of the Christ child, the gift of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.